KPBS On Demand is supported by the Del Mar Wine and Food Festival, happening October 2nd to 7th. Founded in partnership with Alex Morgan, Drew Brees, and Rob Machado, the festival gathers chefs from San Diego and national TV, plus athletes and culture icons. Tickets at delmar.wine.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Wednesday, September 4th. Hundreds of hotel workers strike for higher wages. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. An excessive heat warning for most of the county goes into effect today. Temperatures are expected to be more than 10 degrees above average. The National Weather Service says the inland valleys could see temperatures up to 110 degrees through Saturday, and deserts could see temps up to 116 degrees. Coastal areas also won't escape the scorching temps, with highs up to 95 predicted tomorrow and Friday. Meteorologist Dave Munyon is with the National Weather Service.
These are definitely going to be some of the hottest temperatures for places like Ramona, most of the city of San Diego, and pretty much of the west central portion of San Diego County as a whole.
A heat bulletin issued by state power managers warns the scorching temperatures could strain energy providers, and flex alerts are possible. Restaurants in the city of Chula Vista can no longer have outdoor dining parklets. The city started allowing the parklets during the COVID pandemic to create more outdoor seating and continued to allow them until yesterday. The city says removing the parklets will free up parking space, which will help local businesses. But businesses and customers have mixed emotions about the order. Our media partner 10 News spoke to Steve Garcia, a business owner who says his parklet took up two parking spaces.
I was truly hoping for a last-minute Hail Mary where things would all be on the same page where we can maintain these parklets, but unfortunately it looks like it's all over.
The city says the parklets were always temporary, but it plans to consider a permanent outdoor dining policy soon. The San Diego Blood Bank is partnering with SeaWorld this month to give away free tickets to Howl's Scream if you donate blood. According to officials at the San Diego Blood Bank, the blood bank is currently meeting the needs of the hospitals it serves. But according to the latest information from the Red Cross, blood supplies are down 25% nationwide. To be eligible to donate blood, you must be 17 years or older, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. A list of blood drives can be found at sandiegobloodbank.org/SeaWorld. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Hundreds of hotel workers at the Hilton San Diego Bayfront were on strike for a third day yesterday. Reporter Katie Anasta says it coincides with a nationwide strike demanding higher wages.
The contract for hundreds of housekeepers, cooks, servers, and other Hilton San Diego Bayfront workers expired on Sunday. The union is asking for a $5 annual increase to workers' hourly wages for 3 years. Martine Duarte is a cook at the hotel.
Right now, my pay is $28 an hour, which is just barely enough, not even enough to make it with rent, with the cost of groceries, with utilities. I can't afford $500 emergency. I don't have that.
In a statement, a Hilton spokesperson says the company is committed to negotiating in good faith. The union says workers will continue to strike until they reach an agreement. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
California lawmakers have passed a bill requiring schools to come up with policies to limit the use of smartphones on campus. North County reporter Tanya Thorne says some districts already have those rules.
The hustle and bustle of students is back at Sage Creek High School in Carlsbad, but the buzzing of phones is not, kind of.
We'd been hearing from some teachers and from parents that phones seem to be a distraction in class. So our school board was interested to know if there was a way to address this.
Ben Churchill is a superintendent for Carlsbad Unified School District. He says the school board approved cell phone restrictions ahead of the new school year.
Elementary and middle school, the phones are supposed to be silent and out of sight all day long. They can certainly bring them with them, but they need to stay in a backpack or in a pocket, not used even during breaks and recess and lunch.
But for high schools, cell phone use is only allowed during breaks or with the teacher's permission. Carlsbad isn't the only school district implementing cell phone restrictions. Earlier this year, Governor Gavin Newsom urged California school districts to limit cell phone use in schools, saying excessive use is linked to increased anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Other districts are also taking action. Tanya Thorne, KPBS News.
The final dash to Election Day ramps up this week. As part of our ongoing conversations with San Diego's congressional delegation about democracy, reporter Amitha Sharma spoke with Democratic Congressman Mike Levin. He talked first about why Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz are the right ticket for America's current moment.
We in California know Kamala Harris's legacy of service to our state as Attorney General, as Senator, and now as Vice President. And we're proud of her as our first ever Democratic nominee from California. What's exciting to me about Governor Walz is he came from a very difficult congressional district. He was a red to blue candidate for Congress. He then was a frontline member of Congress in one of the most competitive districts anywhere in the country, in Minnesota. And he also had a great legacy of service as governor of Minnesota. What we have seen in terms of the numbers on the ground, the people who are excited to knock on doors, make calls, it's really reminiscent to me of 2008 and what we saw when Barack Obama was running. And if we can just continue with that excitement, with that enthusiasm over these next 9 or 10 weeks, I think we're going to be in very good shape come November.
So much has been said about democracy being on the line in the November presidential election. A recent Gallup poll, the Gallup poll was from January of this year, showed that just 28% of Americans believe that democracy is working for them, compared to 35% after January 6, 2021. How do you view those numbers?
It tells me that we have a lot of work to do, and my hope is that everyone in time will understand that they have agency in the democratic process. This democracy is only good as we all make it. For me, it's about information, education, and then really community building. Listening to our neighbors, trying to understand their viewpoints, and knowing we're not going to agree on everything all the time, but also knowing that we're all Americans, and again, we all are participants in this process. But people have become very disenchanted. And if you really just follow the narrative these last number of years, and particularly if you're just watching cable news, or again, God help you, if you're just getting your news on social media, you're seeing a very bleak and dark picture. And of course, I would say that Donald Trump was not the cause, but he's certainly been an accelerant of a lot of the embrace of anti-democratic principles, at least anti-democratic as we historically have known them in the United States. So I am deeply concerned, and I'm going to do everything I can as one member out of 435 in the House of Representatives to try to stand up for our institutions, stand up for the rule of law, and ultimately try to work with young people in particular to ensure that they're getting civically engaged.
Let's talk about Project 2025, a blueprint to implement right-wing policies. Many people say a pathway to authoritarianism. How informed do you think people are about exactly what Project 2025 entails?
Well, I think people are hearing more and more about it as time goes on. I mean, if it were up to Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, no one would have heard of it ever. But I think it was really important for the American people to understand what's been planned behind the scenes by the Heritage Foundation and by people that are directly in Trump and Vance's network. It is a very lengthy document. It's 900 pages long, so it's tough for people to digest. But it has some truly bizarre and extreme ideas on everything from limiting reproductive freedom to undermining education, you name it. I'm basically empowering the wealthy and well-connected at the expense of everyone else. If allowed to take root in the fabric of our institutions, it would lead to irreparable harm.
Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington recently published a report that showed 35 county election officials have refused to certify elections since 2020 and remain in positions to do so. How equipped is the system to deal with the potential chaos if that happens again?
The reality is that I think you have far too many people at those lower level positions who are really just sycophants for Donald Trump. My good news, I guess, the secretaries of state themselves from these swing states are committed to a full, free, and fair election.
Congressman, you're out there campaigning for re-election. What are constituents saying to you about the November presidential election?
Well, people are enthused across the board, and there was a big enthusiasm gap, I will tell you, as recently as a few months ago. We know that many Republicans are very excited to vote for Donald Trump. On our side of the aisle, I can tell you that today, as things stand in our district, Democrats are just as excited to vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, and no party preference voters are also now very excited to vote, and they were completely unenthusiastic in many cases and now are very enthusiastic to vote.
Congressman Levin, thank you so much for speaking to me today.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. In tomorrow's podcast, the San Diego Humane Society president and CEO will join me to talk about Clear the Shelters Day on Saturday. Join us again for that interview, plus the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Wednesday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers. Experience the new 2024 Tacoma at your local dealer and learn about the new lineup, including turbocharged four-cylinder engines and a hybrid powertrain option. San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.